sun is out. The sun is out. I love it. The sun is finally out. This week has been nothing but gray, rainy, and cloudy and whatnot. But the sun is out in the right time because it's Friday. And getting into the weekend, I need more of that sun. Nisha and Sean and I were talking about the weather and how we'd all like to schedule the rain at night to happen, you know, kind of like your sprinkler system, but kind of a larger sprinkler system. We'd love to schedule rain and road construction to happen both at night. But anyhow, without talking about that type of stuff, let's get into the industry and let's talk a little bit about why everyone listens to the show. We have a wonderful guest on today. I want to thank everyone for listening to Drive Through HR. It is absolutely a privilege to have you all. And Sean, how are you doing today?
Well, it's Friday, so I'm doing wonderful.
Right? That's how we all react. Unless you're like, oh yeah, and I got to work tomorrow. I've got 7 days worth of stuff I've got to do, and I've got to work over the weekend. It's funny. Years ago, I remember interacting with a bunch of people that were much older than me. That when they looked at their weekends and they had planned things for their kids to do, it was like someone had taken over their calendar. And so I get to the weekends, and now I finally get it. It took me 20 years to finally catch up to them. But I finally get it. It's like I get to the weekend, usually around Thursday or Friday, I talk to my wife, you know, hey, what do we got this weekend? What's the bid? What are we doing? And she then pulls out the calendar and says, you know, the birthdays, the games, the this. And then, you know, I mean, I love all that stuff, but I would love to have my weekends back to where you wake up on a Saturday morning and there's nothing to do. You can just wander and do nothing. But next time that'll happen is probably retirement. But anyhow, Sean, do us a favor. Introduce yourself to the audience. Let the audience know some of your purpose.
Sure. Well, my background is in HR. I've got a bachelor's and master's in industrial organizational psychology. I went into HR for a bit, corporate HR, did that for a bit, and then moved on to the technology side, selling HR solutions. And then starting up Visibility Software to design software for HR people, specifically in the recruiting and training management areas, where we found most HR payroll solutions out there did not have recruiting or training management components. So we, instead of doing what everybody else was doing, we tried to do what nobody else was doing and build some solutions that would partner and integrate with the other products, the HR payroll products that were in the marketplace.
That is genius, actually. What's top of mind for you these days? What's keeping you up at night?
Well, I was listening to some of your previous broadcasts, so I was looking to see what some of your other chats were about. And I think part of the key is continually bothering me is the belief that a tool will solve a problem. And sometimes it does, but when you start to see some people who want to acquire an HR technology piece and expecting that just the acquisition of that will solve the problem, kind of like building a house. If you just go out and buy a bunch of tools, the house does not itself build itself. And so I think the key is to get organizations to first need to understand what problems they're having, what problems they're trying to solve, and then go look for a solution. I remember somebody telling me one time in sales, nobody buys a drill because they want a drill. Nobody says, gosh, I want the best drill ever. They buy a drill because they want a hole. And so that kind of approach. So that's one of the things that's challenging, I think, when we deal with any of our prospects or folks that come to us looking for technology, kind of a chicken or the egg, you know. It's what can you do for me? Well, what do you want it to do? And so it's a good discussion point, but it is challenging, and that's one of the areas where they expect the technology to solve a problem.
So the line of demarcation around process, because we're talking about workflow and process you got to get that right, that plumbing, unsexy stuff there. If you can get that right, then maybe you can get some of the outputs and all the way up to lining up to the business objectives. But at the end of the day, you got to get process right. So in your mind, who's responsible for getting process right? Is it the vendor for coming to the table and showing some highlighting some best practices and what they see? Is it the practitioner? Is it internal to that or anything that I haven't thought of? But just like, who gets process, who's supposed to be getting process right?
Well, I think we always look for the silver bullet. So we always look and say, well, you know, to answer the question, if I had the perfect answer, I'd give it to you. The answer would be X. Challengingly, there isn't a single, and I think it is everyone coming together, because I think, you know, a lot of money is spent in the marketing of technology solutions and how this will solve everything that you've ever, every problem you've ever had with recruiting. This will fill up and complete and close all of your open positions if you buy this, if you rent this. And I think it is a challenging piece, and I think it splits between everybody taking some of that responsibility. The question is, do an RFP. What do you want out of the technology? Well, you don't know what you don't know. So there is some educating that the client needs to do, and that can be through all this content marketing that's out there and white papers and analysts and all of that. Some of that does fall on the shoulders of the vendor to help the prospect, the lead, the potential client understand some of what's available. But I think, again, they have to take time out of their daily routine activities to kind of say, well, what are we trying to solve for? What is that is the biggest problem? And educate themselves on some of that via vendors, via all the content and webcasts and white papers and all the other pieces that are out there.
Let me paint a story about implementations. During the sales process, we don't really kind of highlight process too much. We talk a little bit or talk around it. We get into, we sign the contract, everything's been negotiated, looks kind of buttoned up. We know what our quote-unquote go-live date is. And we get into the implementation, and all of a sudden the vendor starts highlighting a lot of things that the software can do. And a lot of those things are outside of the current process. And now the client, practitioner, has fallen in love with those new things, but it really means process reengineering. You're going to have to redo some things. But yet that go-live date is still there. Mm-hmm. And now the implementation either doubles or quadruples in size. And all this started because process wasn't thought of before we jumped in to, should have been thought of maybe even before the sale, but it wasn't thought of even in the sales process. So that's just a scenario. You've been on both sides of these things. How do we get to that being more efficient? What should that be as it relates to process and process reengineering?
Sure. I good 75% of our clients that come to us don't have a system. And so when you go from paper to the coolest, neatest bells and whistles, you lose sight of the goal, which was initially to solve the problems they started with. And so I agree with your point that then you get into it, and we as vendors have to be careful because we're in love with our own bells and whistles. And so we say, well, do you, for example, have an employee referral program? No, you don't. We can track that within CyberRecruiter. So please, let's build out that whole component. Let's design all of that. And now, as you already said, the whole implementation, the go-live date, has got to push out. So what we have tried to do within our approach to kind of get the best of both worlds is break it down a little bit. Start to say, okay, well, we start off with a best practices system that's set up so that we can get our clients into the product, using it. Then we do in a phase two, we start to say, what else was on that list that you wished you had? For example, employee referral or any of the other bells and whistles that we have that weren't necessarily the primary reason for acquiring the package, the software. And so we try to do it in a two-step. Instead of trying to say, gosh, let's get off the rails, let's forget about what we were trying to solve for when you purchased the product, let's now make up a bunch of other problems and how great we are to solve it. So I think it's a very astute comment, because I think that is something that we are, as a vendor, constantly challenged with.
So in your mind, where in this process does software adoption start, and where does it stop?
Well, you had said the quote-unquote or the virtual air quotes of go-live, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are in the midst of kind of trying to banish that term from our organization so that in our first meeting with the client, we show them how to put in requisitions. When they key in those requisitions over the next week, the goal is then that their career page is now live and applicants can apply. Are we gathering everything that they need necessarily? No. But the goal is you can get so caught up in redesign and perfection and trying to take something that's paper and turning it into automation, that it just never goes live. It never gets started. And so for us, we're trying to get them into that adoption, into using of the tool during the project, not we're going to set up all this, I'm going to show you how to use it, I'm going to train you how to use it, and then in a month, 2 months, 3 months, you're going to be on your own. And that scares the bejesus out of actual HR practitioners. And so the goal is to get them into using part of it today, another part next week, another part the following week, not configuring it, not practice sessions, but actual usage. And so that's kind of the methodology we're moving to address that go live, that creeping date, and some of those other issues we're talking about.
That's a wonderful methodology right there, Sean. When it comes to using a technology right then, instead of holding back because of fear or changing something new, let's go ahead and use it. But from an HR vendor point of view, what do you expect from that HR practitioners who are buying this HR technology? How do they go about getting the buying from their executive teams and even from the employees who are going to use it?
That is another great question. I can see you guys do this a lot. I think part of that question, part of the answer, has to go to being able to communicate to senior management that you've got problems, and then being able to go back and say you have a solution that will solve this problem. Part of it is hiring people and saying, well, if we don't have a tool at all, how are we going to be able to, you know, it's like building a house. Well, right now we use paper. Okay, let's assume that paper is a hand drill, a hand saw, these kinds of things. And you have to be able to say back to senior management, look, if you invest in the technology, in tools, we can spend more time as recruiters dealing with kind of more of an ambassador and cultural fit and sourcing than on the administrative side. I am ardently opposed to ROI calculators. That's just a personal thing for me, where when you take a conservative number and you multiply it by another conservative number, by another conservative number, and you say to someone, hey, you could save $100,000 by spending $40,000 on this product. It's kind of counterintuitive. But you have to be able to say, here's where I'll be able to focus more time and energy by automating some of these pieces. And I think, you know, right now you have to be careful as a consumer that you don't get caught up in there's tons of technology out there. And you can get enamored with a technology tool that's way far down the road when you don't have the basics in place. So I think part of it is making sure that you can tell a good story as the actual HR practitioner of some of the challenges you're having without talking yourself out of a job, but being able to position it as, look, I spend this much time doing all of these things. This system will help not only in my time, but in the communication within our organization regarding training or recruiting.
Mm-hmm. Well, glad that you brought up the ROI factor, because yesterday I was talking to a bunch of HR professionals, and they were saying that there are around 630 metrics are there in the HR profession. But I was thinking, who are going to use that? But we need to know what to measure and what are some metrics that we really need to focus on, right? So when it comes to measuring the success of the HR technology that we just acquired and we are currently using it, but how do we go about justifying by telling our executive, hey, here is the ROI, here are some metrics that we have come up with and which really makes sense?
I agree. I think that, you know, it's kind of like the concept of a resume. You know, we'd all like to figure out how we can come up with a better resume, you know, a better mousetrap, because it's a very subjective, interpretive type of scenario. Well, metrics are very similar to a resume. You kind of look for certain things and there's highlights, but it's very abstract, very subjective. So how do you go out and get metrics, which, you know, statistics are kind of like, the devil quote in scripture from a Bible, right? You can make statistics say whatever you want. It's a matter of what you try to track. So it is a very challenging piece. And again, I think it goes back to where are we struggling and breaking down recruiting or training management to basic components and processes. finding people. How many people do we find? And again, recruiting is like sales, right? And an ATS is like a CRM. You have to have a tool to help you manage all of the flow and then be able to analyze some of that. But if you start to break down recruiting from sourcing and evaluation and routing and interviewing and some of these pieces, I think if you look at those processes, a particular client needs to understand, even subjectively, not metric-based, not we spend 38 minutes doing this and 48 minutes doing that. It needs to be more of a common sense type ROI or a common sense metric to start with, because if they don't have a system, you know, how you're gonna, you don't have a starting point. You have zero. You have zero statistical points to start with. And then you're going to turn around and say, well, if we buy this tool, you know, in 6 months, well, I'll be able to give you all kinds of metrics. So I think you're better off starting off with a little bit of soft metrics, kind of an understanding of how long is the time to fill, you know, how long are some of our other things. We might be doing in Excel, and then be able to compare that later.
So I'm gonna put you in a box. You can only pick one. Successful implementations come down to either superior product knowledge or superior project management expertise. And you can only pick one. Which one do you pick?
I don't like being put in boxes, but that's okay. Now, you're talking from a vendor or from an HR perspective?
From your perspective. You want to have successful implementations. You're training your staff, and, of course, all your staff, everybody you have is probably skilled at both. But let's just say that you can only train them up on one. Which do you think really leads to successful implementations? Do they know the product in and out, and they can bend it like the Matrix, or they know how to really effectively run a project?
The latter. I think effectively running the project. I think knowledge, it's kind of like a library. You know, you have a lot of reference material, and I think you don't have to, I expect all of my consultants to have, I believe in the 80-20 rule, so I expect them to know 80% of the product. I think it's unrealistic to know 100% of any product. And so I think if you have some level of product knowledge is absolutely important. But I think managing the process, having a relationship with the client, being able to be honest and direct and be able to manage a process to ensure it's staying on track, they're motivated. I mean, they just spent a whole bunch of money. Hopefully they're motivated to use this tool. There's a lot asked of the HR people. So I think it's more important to build that relationship and to manage that project and to help transfer some of that knowledge. All of those pieces are more important, I think, in the ultimate answer of a successful project, a successful implementation, a long-term client, those types of things.
So, again, kind of digging back into the implementation stuff, likability, trusting the team, chemistry. If we all agree and say, yeah, that stuff's important, you need to like the implementation team. You need to trust the implementation team. At the end of the day, you want to go see yourself having a beer or coffee with that implementation team. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that sounds like something you and I and Nisha and I would say. How do you manage that? Like, how do you do that? How do you make people likable? How do you create chemistry?
Sure. Two things, I think, there's lots of things that are important. I think what we're doing here within Visibility Software is trying to break down some of those barriers between it, right? We do a lot of our stuff virtual, mainly because we found that if we went on site, whether it's on-site or virtual, after about 90 minutes to 2 hours, people's eyes glaze over. They max out. They can't absorb any more training. They can't handle anything more on that topic. And so we're moving to webcams. You know, we use GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting has the HD faces, not to give them a free plug or commercial, but starting to break down some of those barriers. But probably the biggest overall challenge to an implementation that we find is the short-term, long-term mindset of the HR folks, meaning you have to give me 4 hours a week. You have to give me that at least 4 hours a week for our project to move forward and to be successful. If they say, okay, I'm committing to this and I'm going to make our meetings and I'm going to, you know, the basic stuff has to be there first. The other piece is, I think, is a matter of like company culture. Within a company has a culture, and what we want to try to do for us between ourselves at Visibility and our clients is to build a relationship, and have some common ground and not be so focused on purely, okay, it's good to meet you, William. We're going to go right into talking about what we're going to do today. We're going to focus on the recruiting and the requisitions, you know, and make it like school. It doesn't need to be like school. So I think that if we have the time, the client makes the time in the short term, that's important. And then I think trying to just be yourselves, you know, we're getting ready to do a whole lot of recordings of our products and education and creating a giant video library. We already have a lot of our items, but we're going to be kind of redoing those. And instead of trying to make them perfect, record, you know, let's script everything. Let's write everything down. Let's then read that and how boring and awful of an experience to try to learn from that. I'm having my team try to have more fun with it. To be, you know, it's okay if you cough in the middle or you have a verbal slip here and there or something's not perfect. And so I think these things help build a relationship between two parties.
So you have a wonderful vantage point on this particular question, and this is the trusted advisor. Vendors want to be considered not vendors. They want to be partners, collaborators, trusted advisors. They want to be thought of as something other than, you know, people we cut checks to. Mm-hmm. But you've worked on the other side of this. Behind the veil, you've actually worked the desk. You understand how that is. And I want you to, as much as you can, be honest here. Can vendors ever really become trusted advisors?
Yes, I think they can. And I think it is like any relationship. I like to refer to hiring of people at Visibility. We look at it as dating. So I'm getting ready to hire a new person. I've met with him. I've had phone conversations and phone interviews. I've had video interviews over a time period. So we've dated. And so I think during implementation, a lot of times you have dating. We at Visibility assign a consultant to each of our clients, typically the person they worked with during implementation, and we do what's called outbound tech support. So we call our client to see how things are going, to see if there's nuisance-based questions. We have virtual user group meetings where quarterly where they can attend and learn more about their products, new features, not to sell them. That's the most annoying thing as a software technology user. I get tired of having an account person call me every month, and I start to say, I have this problem. Oh, you can open a case. You can call. You can do that. And I get a new guy for the different tools we use maybe every 6 months or so, and they say, oh, you have 20 minutes to meet? And the first time I met with them, the first thing they asked was, how many more user seats do you need this month or this year? We have some new modules we'd love to sell you. So I think it's part of having a defined role and responsibility and not violating that or confusing the client by saying, hey, this person's here to help you. We've also assigned all of our SaaS or cloud-based clients a consultant who acts as an external HRIS person. So we have taken that partnership above and beyond just we gave you the hammer, the screwdriver, the circular saw, but we're here to help make sure you're using it properly, make sure you're maximizing its use, the maintenance on it is being up to date, and building a relationship in that form instead of confusing it with sales. So I think that's where a lot of vendors error is the combining of roles. So you have an account manager who's also trying to sell me more stuff, who's also calling sometimes to ask me if I am doing okay. So hopefully that helps answer the question both from a user of a lot of technology but also as a vendor.
Absolutely, Sean. Well, we are on the verge of, I mean, the end of 2014, and then 2015 is right around the corner. So if there is somebody out there who is shopping for HR technology in the year 2015 and to help them out, you know, we started the show saying that technology can't solve or fix our problems. But here are some tips and techniques or probably a few questions that you would think that can help them while shopping for their HR technology. What do you think some of the questions that they should ask themselves?
Sure. Having been in this industry for, I guess, about 17 years, I think the key is be careful of the shiny new object. That's, you know, be careful that you don't fall prey to all the marketing. I mean, there is a ton of mergers and acquisitions and money being spent in this industry, and there's tons of outbound marketing pieces and all of that. And so be careful that you just don't, you know, oh, somebody worked harder by mailing me a letter, and, you know, and I see a commercial and I see these things, therefore they're the one, they're the product I need to have. You know, be careful of that marketing part of it. I think, secondly, you have to start to say, well, what do we have now and what's the norm? So if you're a 100-person company, 500-person company, 1,000-person company, what are the tools you currently have in place? So, again, before you head to Home Depot to buy a bunch of tools, what do you have in the garage right now? Oh, we have an HR system. I mean, you'd be surprised on the recruiting side when we ask that question, well, what does the rest of your department use to track employee data? I don't know. Okay, well, it's going to be really hard to understand about integration between recruiting and HR if you have no idea what your other cohorts are using to manage employee data. So I think part of it is to do a little bit of an inventory of what you have and what you need. I mean, if you don't have a hammer, you don't have a crowbar, it might be the things you're going to need to go to the store look for. So start to minimize some of that, because it can be overwhelming when you get into recruiting or training management, all of the magical technology products out there that can just solve every problem you have. But you got to first start with, what do you already have in place? Is that going to change? What is it that you then need? And then start to say, what are the biggest return, the biggest problems that can be solved with technology? Is it communication? Your hiring managers aren't really involved or engaged in the recruiting process. Metrics, is that important to make sure that you can prove? So I think part of it is doing a little bit of inventory, both what you have and what are some of the problems you're trying to solve. Start there. And I would say that there is this new thing called content marketing, maybe not so new, of white papers and webinars and stuff. And then I would say go out and get educated on what is available before you get into an RFP, before you get even into demos. Just educate yourself a little bit. You know, we have a little check sheet, a little check thing. One of our content pieces that we built was a checklist of what you want out of an LMS or what you want out of an ATS. So there's a lot of stuff out there. So I'd say, you know, kind of start, you know, doing that before you get into demos and start being amazed at how great the tool is that that will solve all your problems.
Wonderful. So what do you foresee happening in the HR technology spectrum in the next year?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know. It's an interesting piece because, you know, having been in this sector for a bit, you know, it used to be the battle, if you're talking purely about ATSs, which are definitely, everyone should have an applicant tracking system. The LMS, the learning management, the talent management, the tracking of training, deployment of training is up and coming. So if you divide the two areas that we focus on, I think that it's interesting because historically there was a battle between staffing applicant tracking systems and corporate applicant tracking systems. Now it seems to be a battle, if you will, between auxiliary type tools, you know, posting tools and social media tools and all of that, that are really amazing things, but they don't have core applicant management, requisition management, communication. And so I think part of the challenge this next year is seeing the peripheral type products try to build out ATS systems, and the ATS systems trying to build out the peripheral stuff, the integrations, the job board stuff, and those pieces. So as we look forward to 2015, I think probably still more mergers and acquisitions, and being an HR guy at heart, I'm excited to see the amount of money being invested in the technology. And so I think there'll probably be more mergers and acquisitions, more consolidations, and more startups. So, for 2015, I think it's going to be a very populated playing field. And I think that makes it even more challenging for anybody out there in the HR arena to kind of sift through all that and understand what's important.
Wonderful. So, Sean, thank you so much for joining with us and sharing your lunch time with us, and have a successful 2015 to you all. And where can our audience connect with you and come and find you?
Well, for the next year, we're putting together all our marketing pieces, but we hope to be out at a lot of the trade shows and different events. You can definitely go to visibilitysoftware.com, and we have some great webcasts and a lot of content and things that can help educate you on recruiting and training management and how important those are as part of your HR solution. I'd say come visit us either virtually, or we hope to see you out at any of the industry trade shows.
All right. So thank you, Sean, and have a wonderful rest of the day.
Great. Well, thank you.
Bye, William.